Well, good Saturday afternoon, everyone. It's we're in that cycle of high wind, rain, blue sky, rain, high wind, blue sky.
Welcome to tornado season.
30s at night, 70s in the daytime. The poor bass are so messed up. I feel so sorry for them.
Not that we would know, because, you know, we're kind of beached for a little bit.
Yeah, I want to know what happened to the boat.
I want to know, too.
We've been, for you armchair marine mechanics here, we've been having a little problem with our boat. Wait a minute. Was I supposed to say anything else? I welcomed everybody in. And we started, and it's normal what we do. All right.
You're listening to Woods and Water, whether or not you know.
You're listening to Woods and Water, yeah. South Carolina, and we appreciate you tuning in. But, yeah, for you armchair mechanics out there, boat mechanics, for like a month, the boat goes in forward and neutral just forward, neutral, reverse just fine when it's plugged up to a water hose. But you go take it off the trailer, and you don't have reverse.
And you really can't take it off the trailer besides...
Oh, yeah, I can dunk it and trolling motor. And we have gone fishing without reverse. We can do it.
It's not my favorite thing. I like my reverse.
Taylor thinks you need reverse to get on the boat trailer.
Just in case I'm off a little bit, you got to, like, back it. I did not once. Well, I had to back it up.
How many times have you put that boat on a trailer? Never had a problem. All but once. Long time. Anyway. 2 years now, and you put it on there wrong once.
Okay, but we thought we fixed it, and then I was taking it off the trailer at Lake Murray, and I couldn't get it, and then it got stuck. And I was like, and there was a guy trying to put in beside me, putting it at Drew Island, so there's two lanes. And there was a guy putting beside me with this, like, aluminum boat. I said, boy, if you back this thing into me, I will punch a hole through that boat.
But it's weird because it like I said, and when you've got it hooked up the water hose and the little muffs on the impeller, It goes in and out just fine. But get it on the water, and it won't go in. It'll sit there and spin, and you can hear the gears.
Yeah,
it's like they're just not engaging right.
So tell them what we found out.
So anyway, I'm out there the other I don't know, mid morning or something. I take a break from tax season, and I'm out there walking, and I don't know what I was looking at to even notice it.
Yeah,
I was hooking up the batteries to charge them.
Ah.
And for some reason, I looked at the foot of the motor, and the foot is perfectly fine. It's not like we've hit anything. The skeg is fine.
Props.
Foot's fine. Props got the same little nicks in it that had when we bought the boat. But there's a ring that bolts onto the foot of the motor that, I don't know if it holds the prop on it, because the king nut holds the prop on. But anyway, I don't know what the ring is for. Well, actually, I do know what it's for. It is a hub assembly something or another, because I have another one on order from Mercury, and it should be here in the next day or so. I'll try my hand at boat mechanic. Anyway, the two little arms that the bolts go through are just, I mean, it's a cast iron piece of whatever, but it's shattered. It's history. Toast.
So weird.
I mean, I took the nuts off and two parts of it just fell off of my hand. Another one is trapped between the bolt and the hub and all, and I got the prop and all off, and the shaft is fine. So I wonder if that little quarter-inch difference, because it was when it broke, there was like a quarter-inch gap between the foot and this ring that goes around it. And I wonder if that's what was causing it not to go in reverse. So anyway, I got a new part on the way. It's weird. But, yeah, we can fish without reverse.
But it stinks for us because, like, it's been really pretty the past couple of days and we haven't been able to go.
Oh, pretty. You remember what Thursday was like?
Thursday.
Yeah. Rain? Wind?
Oh
yeah. I mean, it might be pretty today, but yeah.
Before that.
Yeah, yeah. But now the water's, chocolate milk and orange, and now Andy Montgomery tells you it's a whole lot easier to fool a big fish in muddy water than it is in clear water. I still like to see my fish.
I know. I like to see my fish.
Hey, you don't always see them, but I like to, this time of the year, I like to see fish.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Murray was fun. It was fun.
Still beat.
That's all right.
If I'd have had those other two bedfish, if I'd actually gotten them to bite, I would have beat you.
It's okay. You didn't. I had an epic swing and a, well, what would
no,
you call that?
No, it was a swing and a miss.
Well, it wasn't a miss. It wasn't like I swung and didn't connect. It was like the fish bit it and held on to it until I got her up to the top, and then she just, like, let go and spit it back at me. So it was a swing and a delayed miss.
Swing and a delayed miss.
Okay. On camera, no less.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
It was.
But that was, like, take one out of 15?
Yeah, or something like that. No, it was, like, take three.
Take two,
yeah,
three.
there was a couple of videos before, and then...
Yeah, there was.
Then she, yeah, that was pretty cool, though. I mean, reel down, set the hook, baby, bending the rod. Mm-hmm. And she, you can see her underneath the water. She's back and forth, kind of, and she gets to the top, and here comes that zoom Z crawl. With the weight going the other direction. I'm like, oopsie.
We also saw, what was that? I want to know, was this, like, was it a cooter that we saw sitting on top of the water dead, like rolling over backwards?
Oh, that thing was big and nasty. I guess it was a cooler. It was dead.
That would have been bad to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Murray was fun. It was a beautiful day. Lots of wildlife at.
A lot of turtles.
Yeah, a lot of turtles in the area we were in. I don't know what that was. They were out in force sunning.
Yep.
A lot of big cruisers.
A lot of big cruisers, yeah.
This was Monday, 2 weeks. It'd be 2 weeks ago Monday now.
There were a couple that looked like they were locked but weren't really locked. Not
yeah.
yet.
They were kind of suspicious but weren't really defensive yet.
Yeah.
With this weather going back and forth, though, yeah. It's going to be...
The two I tried to get on bed were, I mean, actively chasing off bream, but just were not quite interested.
Yeah.
So that's kind of frustrating. She's like, I know you're mad, but you're not. You're not.
I got a pro tip for you on that one.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. What? Talk to Anthony about that.
About?
The bedfish that were running off all the bream, but yet wouldn't touch what we were throwing in.
Yeah.
He said drop shot with a minnow body on it.
What? Oh, it's drop shot. I hate drop shot.
Sorry, I'm just telling
drop
you.
Drop shot on a bedfish?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tried to throw one.
Well, that's true, you did. And yours is a little deep, though. Mine
but
was,
that was
mine
the
was
one
really
that
shallow.
Let go. I mean, I'd already, that was the one that
true.
I tried to, and I said I wasn't getting any reaction from her after that.
Yeah.
He said, well, she probably would have bit 45 minutes or an hour later because she didn't feel the hook.
Yeah.
But he said, you need to put a minnow body on a drop shot. A swim bait body or something on a low drop shot, like 4 inches off the bottom.
Okay.
Make it look like something's going in on that bed. He said, and you got her.
I mean, yeah, I had a shad-colored wacky worm on, and
yeah.
She wasn't really going on her except,
but yeah.
Oh, well, it was a good trip anyway.
Lots of wildlife. Saw some ospreys and the osprey trying to catch a turtle.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay, that one was weird.
That was weird. There was an osprey in one cove we're going into, and... the osprey kept diving on something on the other side of some docks.
We thought
it was like bass on a bed or something because I could see something dark. And no, the osprey was diving on turtles. I have never seen that in my life.
But I think that was that same osprey that was chasing off the eagle.
The eagle
that
earlier,
poor eagle,
yeah.
Just, I mean, he was just trying to get to where he was going. And that
osprey
was
all over.
Letting off.
So anyway, saw some low. Go on, Sophie, go lay down. Go lay down. I mean it. Nope. Lay down. So it's getting right out there, folks. Maybe we'll have the boat fixed in time. I am not a mechanic. I have a son-in-law who is good at it, so if I screw it up, maybe I can take it down to him. Who knows? Anyway, we do have a calendar of events. We got some news. Gonna talk about the gathering. Mm-hmm. A little bit about the Red Crest. We get to it. So, let's listen to music. Let's listen to some music. What do you think?
Gosh.
Because you need to
wake
up.
We'll see you in the next segment.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next segment. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Tanner needs some wake-up music.
I'm awake.
All right, everybody woke. Everybody, eyes open and
yes,
nap time's over.
Minus Sophie.
Sophie.
Sophie's about to take herself a nap.
Sophie. Don't just turn around. Don't look at her.
But she's so cute.
I know. Just turn around. Her don't look at her.
Rolls. She's a little neck rolls. You notice that?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm focused.
Are you focused now?
I think so.
You sure?
Oh, you're so cute, Sophie. Yeah. Don't hit me.
So long
you dropped
as it,
your paper.
So long as the bruises don't show.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't it just like 2 or 3 weeks ago we talked about a new case of CWD in Alabama?
Yes. No, that was Tennessee.
There was one in Alabama, and there was one in Arkansas. Okay. May have been one in Tennessee. Anyway, I know Alabama was in there, and there was another CWD. Okay, so this came out Thursday from Carolina Sportsman, actually from the North Carolina Wildlife and Resources Commission. We have CWD in North Carolina now, folks.
You can say goodbye to your corn.
Well,
and
I don't know what North Carolina's plan is. I haven't looked at it. But normally, there's immediate outlaw of baiting. Of course, it's not deer season now. We're in April. So deer season's not here. Normally, they open the season up. I don't think they're doing that. I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything of that. But anyway, officials with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission announced today, which was Thursday, that a sample collected from a hunter-harvested white-tailed deer in Yadkin County has tested positive for CWD. It's the first case of CWD detected in North Carolina's deer herd and was confirmed by the National Veterinary Services Laboratory in Ames, Iowa. The deer was harvested in northern Yadkin County in December 2021. The sample was sent in by taxidermists through a cooperative program established by the Wildlife Commission. They've ramped up testing this past season and collected over 7,200 samples from cooperators and hunters due to the discovery of a CWD-positive deer 33 miles away from the North Carolina border last year in Montgomery County, Georgia. Let's see. Been only one confirmed positive to date. The Wildlife Commission continues to receive results from this year's harvest testing. At this time, the agency has received results from 60% or 4,200 of all samples that have been submitted, and 76%, 626 of results from a 4-county focal area, which is Allegheny, Surrey, Stokes, and Rockingham, that was initiated because of the 21 Virginia CWD positive deer. Oh, let's see. We have a CWD response plan. I need to look at that. They are going to have a commission meeting on April the 7th, and public meetings in the impacted area will be announced as they are scheduled. So, and it goes on, CWD is no treatment. It's a slow incubation period, ease of transmission. The fact there is no vaccine, treatment, or cure makes CWD a looming threat to the state's white-tailed deer population and deer hunting traditions, given a time the disease is always fatal. And it's because of a bent abnormal protein called a prion, whatever. So anyway.
And also
transmitted through saliva, urine, feces of live deer carcasses and body parts. That's why you have a moratorium on moving deer between states, especially brain parts and, spinal fluids and stuff like that.
I've been seeing some videos of some people. I don't know exactly where. I tried to find where the video was taken, but I saw at least 3 in the past 2 weeks of deer, turn around in a tight circle.
Yeah, but there's
all that stuff. And people are saying it's CWD.
No, not necessarily.
But it's not. So
there's a brain. Oh, man.
It was like a parasite, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember what that one's called.
But that goes to say, just if you see something like that, don't automatically say it's CWD, because then people are going to start freaking out.
Yeah, it's not. CWD, CWD, very rarely do you see a CWD sick deer, because it takes so long to incubate and show signs, and they get weak, and they say a lot of them are eaten by predators before they ever die of CWD. Because everybody says, well, if CWD is so bad, why don't we see dead deer all over the place? Well, it's because they don't make it that long.
It comes from the inside out.
So, anyway, like I said, it was just a couple of weeks ago we talked about Alabama having the first case.
Yeah.
Which is across the border from the Tennessee counties that have it. And I don't know, Taylor. I mean, what does it mean? Okay, there's no to date, and CWD was first discovered in, what, 72 or something like that?
But it was out west, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's all over out west and through the north and Wisconsin, Michigan, and that, you know, there has never been, unlike, what, Jacobson's disease, there's never been a confirmed transmittal of CWD from a deer to a human. So it's not like you can't eat a CWD-infected deer.
Right.
Because they're eating all over the Midwest and out west and all that. Like I said, there's a moratorium on you can't transport across state lines.
Well, and I was just fixing to say, I'm sure all y'all remember when that came into effect. And a lot of people that, you know, either come from the East Coast or the West Coast come to Midwest to hunt deer, and then you had it to where you can't transport.
Right, you might as well leave it there and have it processed out there.
So I think with the North Carolina case, I don't think anything's going to change because of fear of getting it transmitted to humans. I think, though, since it is so close, especially here in South Carolina, I think that they're going to really lock down on baiting. I think they're going to lock down on corn. I just feel like, because that's going to be like, you know,
I texted
prevention.
With Charles Ruth Thursday and asked him, and he said, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. No ban on corn or mineral licks yet. Now, I don't know if that's
not yet
as in not this week or not yet this year or what. I don't know what that means. And I'm gonna call him first of the week and talk to him a little bit about it and see. Because that's normally in every response plan, you had an immediate ban on baiting. Mm-hmm.
But maybe
that's
yet to come. Maybe that, you know, I mean, we're in springtime now. Maybe that's to come in late summer.
Or early summer.
Or something like that. I guess it depends on if they find another positive case.
Well, even if they don't, they have one. They know there's probably more.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, honestly speaking,
yes.
Personally, corn, sad, but mineral licks, lucky buck. Oh.
Okay. Well, but that's, I'm serious. Okay. It's spread through saliva, urine, whatever else. Okay. So when you concentrate deer around, and that's why it's not the baiting so much. It's just that it concentrates it around a feeder.
On the amount of contact.
That's right.
That each
and they recur.
Has.
Every day they're there. And with everything, the more you do it, the more chances you have of a certain outcome. And since it's through saliva, and you have saliva all over the ground when it's a salt lick or whatever like that, so they're gonna have to go with baiting stations. You're gonna have to get rid of both of them at the same time. You can't keep one and not the other.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Food plots.
Oh, don't even go there.
Just wait a minute. Just wait a minute.
Oh no.
Just wait a minute. Now you can't make agriculture. You can't CWD-proof agriculture.
No, you can't.
You can't. Okay.
They got to have a food source.
The sticking point here is the people that can't do food plots like we do, like a lot of people, the only thing they have is a pine plantation, and they can put out corn and mineral licks. And their first reaction to removing corn and mineral licks out of the equation in deer hunting is, well, why do you still have food plots? Because it concentrates the deer in a food plot. And
yes,
they have a point, it does, but it's not, I don't think you can make that correlation, because if I have clover growing, they graze.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're going to the same 15-foot circle of
all
dirt
at, once and,
at the same time, all at once.
And I mean, you know, that goes with clover, it goes with, it goes with anything. I mean, it's separate plots and separate places we've planted, but I guess it's hard.
It's tough. It's going to be tough because deer are social animals.
Yeah.
They lick each other, they groom each other. They, you know, they have licking branches. They, you know, the only thing you can do in that situation is limit the effect hunters have.
Yeah. And I think that's why I think salt licks and all that's going to be the first to go.
It will
because they're
be.
All licking
it's
on the same
gonna,
thing.
It's going to have to go.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that meeting they're about to have, though.
Yeah, it will be. And it'll be interesting to see what our reaction here with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is going to be.
I think it'll be a closer eye on everything and maybe more tests.
I bet you will see an increase in testing in South Carolina.
Yeah.
especially in a focal area. I mean, you may have, you know, Rock Hill, York County, Lancaster County,
parts, yeah,
you know, Chesterfield County, some of those counties around Charlotte, yep, in that area, you may have a more of a testing presence there next year than you've ever had before.
Which I know this is not what we wanted to hear, but the way I see it is better happens now than midseason.
I don't know.
You can start being more prepared for it, figuring out your plans.
They might have a chance to be a little proactive.
Yeah.
Maybe not reactive. But
especially for what you said, those pine plantation hunters. They're going to have a chance now to figure out where they're going to go with their food sources.
Yeah. And then in pine, you can plant food plots in pine plantations. Mm-hmm. Pine, what is it? Grant Wood says, pine tree has a straight, deep taproot. You can plow up next to them and have a plant. Whereas an oak tree has a very shallow and wide reach. System, yeah. That's why you can't grow anything underneath that oak tree.
Yep.
Except in the wintertime when it's not drawing. You can grow underneath an oak tree better than normally. The soil is poor anyway, but you can do it in the fall. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And then
what the effect. So, okay. So, you don't have transmission in humans. Uh-uh. What, would you eat a deer that has CWD? If you knew it had CWD, would you eat it?
I think to be able to make that decision, I would have to look into CWD a whole lot further.
Well, there's been no cases of transmission now. That's a proven fact.
Yeah, but just like, I don't know. So then, I mean, maybe if it, I don't know.
I'll go this far with you. I'll say this. If that deer looks sick, I mean, if its ribs are showing and it looks bad and all that, I wouldn't eat it.
I wouldn't.
But if it looks just like a normal deer and it comes back with CWD, I'll eat it.
Really?
I just hope it doesn't chill the tradition. I don't want to affect deer hunting.
Yeah.
Well, so. All right, we do have some other stuff to get to. Y'all hang on. Unimpressed, aren't you?
I'm unimpressed. Yeah, you're okay. Right.
Hey, you know what we forgot?
What did we forget?
There are some people in the Midlands who, right now, are listening to this. If you are going to see the Thunderbirds, if you're there now, of course you're not listening to the show if you're there now, but if you're going to listen to Thunderbirds at Shaw Air Force Base tomorrow, you may want to be careful because they lull you into these nice, beautiful passes where they're all out there in front and it's real pretty and smoke going on there, and you look off to one side and coming from behind them, it's called the Sneak Pass. And they do two of them now.
Oh, great.
So, that's tomorrow on our list, right?
If I can wake up, yes. Okay.
You got to be there early. Yeah, the Thunderbirds are at Sumter at Shaw Air Force Base this weekend. Forgot to mention that when we first went on the air.
We haven't even gotten to our calendar.
I know.
Yet,
we
so
do have
why.
A calendar, and we do have some other stuff. But, yeah. Kick the tires and light the fires.
Dad.
Yes. I love it. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for tomorrow. We'll be there. And the weather looks great. Okay, so we do have a bit of news that we haven't gotten to in the last few weeks. Well, yours is the last few weeks. Mine's not. Anyway, we'll go ahead.
Oh, want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so this article was released by DNR on March 17th. But this is for all my boaters out there getting ready for this summer. There's a new law that increases the distance limits between the boat and the docks. It's in select few of South Carolina waters.
All
and I'll
lakes.
Name them off. Well, it's
pretty much all lakes.
It's pretty much all, but yeah. They have them listed, so I'm going to list them off.
Yeah.
And they prohibit wake surfing within 200 feet. Now, the law before it was you had to keep 50 feet off docks. Now it's
right.
100. This law was signed into effect on March 14th. And this is doubles. Okay, so it applies to Lake Greenwood, Lake Hartwell, Joe Cassie, Kiwi, Marion, Monticello, Murray, Robinson, Russell, Secession, Thurman, Watery, Fishing Creek Reservoir, Paw Reservoir, and a portion of Savannah River.
Pretty much all navigable waterway lakes
pretty
in South
much.
Carolina.
So that is as for keeping distance with your boat is 100 foot. Gah, can't
and
talk.
And that's from docks, other anchored vessels, or people in the water.
Yes.
Okay.
Which, when you think about it, it's probably a good thing, right?
So let's see. 100 feet is 4 to 5 boat lengths.
Yes.
Okay.
So just, I mean, try your best to keep it that distance. Just
yeah.
Be courteous.
That's right.
A big thing with this is we're looking at erosion on
But our bass boat's not the erosion problem.
No, it's the big wake setters and wake surfing boats, and that's also included in this law. So the new law also prohibits wake surfing on all South Carolina waters within 200 feet of a dock because of what we're seeing on the shorelines and everything. Wake surfing is defined in the new law as a vessel that is
ballasted.
Thank you.
I knew what you were gonna. I was waiting on it. English is not her strong point.
It's not. Sorry, I speak American, not English.
That's right.
It's in the stern so as to create a wake that is or is intended to be surfed by another person. Pretty easy, right? So
yeah.
All y'all are going out this summer doesn't mean you can't have fun. Just
Keep
a little more
bank.
Distance
yep.
than you're used to. And also, that just, I mean, like we said, that goes for docks, other boats, and people. So just
yeah.
Keep an eye out. You always got to be
courtesy.
Working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be courteous to each other out there. Everybody have a good time.
And everybody out there saying, well, I'm not going that close. Like, it's not my fault. Just abide by the law. Go with it. It ain't that hard.
Well, there's some congratulations out because this week, Bassmaster released their 2022 high school all-state fishing teams. So 53 of the most outstanding high school anglers from across the country have been named to the 2022 Bassmaster High School all-state fishing team presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
As always.
The students were selected for the honor based on their success in bass tournament competition, academic achievement, and leadership in conservation and community service. To be considered for the All-State Fishing Team, a student must have been nominated by a parent, coach, teacher, or other school official. And the students enrolled in grades 10 through 12 of the current year, grade point average of 2.5 or higher, were eligible. They had nearly 400 nominations, and there's 53 student anglers from 34 states. In addition, 40 students received honorable mentions, recognizing them for their tournament success, as well as community service and academic achievements. They will, a second panel of judges will review the nominations of all 53 all-state team members and select the 12 members of the 2022 Bassmaster High School All-American Fishing Team. And, let's see, the 12 finalists will compete in a one-day Bassmaster High School All-American Bass Tournament presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors, which will be held during the 2022 Sims Bassmaster Elite at Lake Fork, scheduled to take place May 19th through the 22nd in Quitman, Texas. And Elite Series anglers will serve as teammates and coaches of the student anglers in the tournament, and they'll be honored on the main stage at the weigh-in. So it goes to Alabama, all those, and then in Georgia, there's a few from Georgia and all. From South Carolina, we need to congratulate. I can get down to it here.
Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas.
Yes, okay. From
Hunter Dill.
Hunter Dill from the Devil Dog Anglers and Travelers Rest, South Carolina. Hunter Dill.
Peyton
congratulations.
Sorrow.
Peyton Sorrow from the Abbeville Panthers fishing team. And Zach McGraw from Gaffney is an honorable mention. So congratulations, guys.
I'm proud. Peyton has come a long way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I still remember we were youngins.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Y'all were, weren't you? But congratulations, those three anglers. And man, it'd be nice if one of them made it to the top 12. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Yeah, Peyton was all happy. He got an article and a paper. And he sent me a picture of me. He goes, look at this. Like, oh, gosh, we've come so far.
Yeah, both of you have.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's cool. All right, let's do the calendar.
Okay.
Brought to you by Capital City.
Lake Murray Country.
Down at Camp Woody on April the 8th and 9th, which is coming up quick, there's a bass fishing tournament. It's a two-day adult camper program. Allow your camper to participate in a fishing tournament utilizing the many bodies of water. And TJ talked about this, and I hope there's still room. But anyway, yeah, you go and you spend the night and have a scale and a measuring tape. And you photo document your fish. You'll arrive on Friday afternoon to check in, scout the ponds, and do some pre-fishing before dinner. Saturday morning, you'll grab your breakfast, head out the ponds to fish until lunch. Have the weigh-in, present awards. Bring your own fishing rod and tackle to use during the tournament. If you need to borrow items, please contact us beforehand. So that's April 9th, 8th and 9th. $125.
April 6th, Hadros Point's putting on a shallow water fishing seminar. Captain Jeff Bennett is going to be talking about different techniques, kind of like tackle, boat positioning, and methods for approaching and catching redfish. So that's one you don't want to miss. That's it. Starts at 6 o'clock, goes to 7:15 as at Hadros Point in Charleston.
Which one? Mount P or?
That's what I was looking at. It doesn't say. But I guess.
Probably Mount Pleasant.
That's kind of what I was
fixed
thinking.
To say. Probably the Mount Pleasant, not the other one.
Yeah.
Saturday, April 9th, the Bamberg County South Fork and Edisto River canoe kayak trips begin. You're going to launch at 9 a.m., zigzag landing to Fred's Smoke on the Water.
Ah.
Bring your own boat and gear. A life jacket and whistle are required by law. You can rent boat and gear from the Cope Kayak Company, and there are camping and cabins available at Edisto Birdhouse Refuge near Branchville or at Barnwell State Park near Blackville. Anyway, you can find more at the Bamberg County website for that one.
Really quick, Garden and Gun is putting on their 9th annual Women in the Field Ladies Fly Fishing Excursion, and that is going to be Thursday, April 7th through the 8th, and it's going to be at Highlands and Cashiers, North Carolina. All skill levels are welcome to this. They're going to be teaching you how to use different flies, different techniques, things like that. So it sounds like a fun thing. You can go to their website and register.
If you're at all interested in high school fishing, this would be one that you might want to go check out just because it's a spectator sport. Saturday, April the 9th, the South Carolina Bass Nation Youth State Championship Tournament's taking place at Lake Greenwood State Park. All South Carolina student anglers were eligible to participate in this. And, you know, they'll have a launch early in the morning and a weigh-in. And if you're thinking about fishing, you can go out. This would be a good little opportunity for you as parents to check things out and you as students to check things out and pick a team and support them.
I'm sure they'd appreciate it, too.
I'm sure they'd appreciate it. All right, let's take a break, come back, and we'll have
We've got story times. Next segment.
Story time.
Yeah.
Okay. Not sure what that means, but yes, y'all hang in there. Taylor says we got something special coming up.
No. You've already ruined it. You know when you go downtown Charleston and they're running the little horse and carriage rides?
Yes. Yeah.
I need
blinders.
Those blinders the horses are wearing to avoid seeing what just happened there.
Well, see, you were complaining about how sleepy and tired you were, so I loaded in some music that would kind of wake you up.
Oh, how thoughtful.
I try to be. All the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We did have it. Next week, we're going to talk to Anna Kay and Tony Kay, who Anna has fished since middle school. She's Abbeville, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Abbeville Panthers. So we're going to have more. We're going to talk about high school fishing. And with she and her dad, because her dad's been her boat captain. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about what goes and happens and
what you have to struggle through.
Yeah. from an angler standpoint, a lady angler standpoint, no less. She was kind of nervous. I told her you'd be there to back her up.
She was nervous?
Yeah, that's what she said. She was. They were volunteering at the classic. She was like, I don't know what to talk about. I said, just talk about fishing.
Run your mouth.
It's a conversation.
I do it every week.
So we're gonna have a good time with them next week on the show.
And, well, we got some stuff to catch up on in this segment.
We do. We've gone and done some things and kind of want to tell y'all about them. Maybe not that you can do one of them, but you can do the other one. I mean, not everybody could go to Tulsa, Oklahoma for Red Crest.
Oh, I was like.
But they could get out for the gathering.
Yeah.
At Clinton House. So, do you want to start off?
Okay. I can do that.
Because you're awfully anxious to talk about the gathering.
Well, it was a good day.
It was your birthday.
It was my birthday. Yeah, March 17th.
But I have to premise this.
Oh, gosh.
She said, I'll go, but I'm not shooting any guns because I don't want to shoot in front of other people.
Let me just say, okay, I shot competitive.
Is that not the ultimate? What am I trying to say here?
I don't know. I don't think you know what you're trying to say. So how about you just let me do the talk? Okay? So I shot competitive archery for over 6 years, right? I didn't mind shooting a bow in front of people. Your flashlight's on your phone.
I noticed. Just noticed that.
I did not mind shooting in front of people because it was a line of however many archers were in my flight. And
500 in Kentucky.
500 in Kentucky. Yeah, that was nationals. And not everybody's looking at you. Granted, now at the gathering, there weren't plenty of people there shooting guns. You had people standing behind you.
Next to you, watching you.
So
people wearing Sig Sauer shirts and Barrett rifle shirts.
It's kind of intimidating when you walk in there. It looks like a bunch of military
Swarovski
people.
Swarovski shirts and Leupold shirts and Army shirts. And
so, I went in there. I was like, Dad, I'll go. It'll be fun. I haven't been to Clinton House since I was little. We went there for a skeet shoot.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll go. It'll be fun. But I'm not going to shoot. I'll take pictures. Trying to improve my photography skills here.
Yes.
And we got there. We went through the little vendor booths and everything.
We talked to some interesting people in the vendor
booths. Yeah, there were.
We are going to parlay that into a few segments. One on silencers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a real good one when we get to it.
We met some good people. We got some guests that are interested in coming on. And
yep.
So it was a good time, but then I was like, all right, let's go shoot. And I was like, correction, you're going to go shoot. I'm going to take pictures. And so we went, where did we go? We went to the SIG booth first, right? Because you said you want to shoot some SIGs.
Yeah, and it was only from 12 to 5. We didn't get a whole day. Yeah. Media day was only 12 to 5. So we were kind of limited on time.
We were there for
the
whole 5 hours, so.
We were.
But what did you go to shoot? I can't remember what you went to shoot. Was it a suppressed?
Well, I mean, they had all sorts of suppressed weapons and stuff like that. And he said, what do you want to shoot? I said,
Everything.
No. The other cool thing about it is shooting other people's guns and other people's ammunition.
Not favorite.
And it was open to the public Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You had to buy tickets, but this was open to the public Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Let me tell you, though, stepping into that parking lot and everything, it's not like a daggum war
zone.
Oh,
you could shoot fully automatic stuff. I mean, they had pistols and rifles and they had shotguns, and you could shoot different distances. But anyway, they what was the Sig Sauer? Oh shoot! It was at a five and a half inch barrel. It was 300 blackout. It was suppressed. I mean, yeah.
That was what
it
you
was
shot.
So cool. Yeah, I'm trying to. I pulled up their website here. This is the one I started out shooting. It's the one you shot, but you shot another one too. Okay, so I started off with.
Was it the Predator?
No. The Rattler.
Oh.
The SIG MCX Rattler Canebrake.
These things look like weird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so it's, cool, what, it's what Special Ops uses. I mean,
yeah.
he explained to us the Rattler was made to the specs of Special Ops, who wanted it to be able to fit beside the seat in the car or in an everyday backpack.
Yeah.
So the barrel on this thing is only 5.5 inches long.
And it's suppressed.
It's suppressed. So you have like a 6-inch suppressor on it. It comes with a fake suppressor that you can leave on it and shoot. But it has to have that because otherwise the barrel and the frame, the flame, is coming out the hand guard. But it has a collapse, a stock that swings out of the way. It's just really cool. 300 blackout. I mean, when you were shooting it, you weren't hearing the report of the gun. No. You could hear the bullet hitting the metal target.
You couldn't hear
the gun.
So weird.
It was really cool. You shot a copperhead too.
Yeah.
You shot a copperhead, and then we shot.
What was the one we both shot? The first
cross
one
rifle.
Okay. So, Dad goes up to the top. And I was like, yep, I still hadn't shot at that point. The guy was like, oh, come on, you shoot. It's your birthday. You need to shoot. Well.
Conveniently let that out when we got there.
Yeah, conveniently. I was fixing to kill you. Anyway, so we got up there. And Dad shot it first. And, I mean, this thing's pretty intimidating for a short person. And
it's on a tripod.
Yeah, so you could, like, lower
it. So you stand
it
up,
and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But so he was like, come on, you just got to take. I was like, okay, I'll do one shot. One shot. And I shot it, and I hit the target, and I was like, oh.
200 yards.
This is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah,
and
it is.
So, what, a couple rounds later, I let you have the last round.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of fun, and I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's done. Nobody has to give me a hard time anymore, because I shot. Got back down there, and the guy from the SIG booth came over.
He was on to you.
And he had told me at SIG booth, he was like, it's your 18th birthday.
That's right. He was at the SIG booth in the tent.
In the vendor tent.
Yeah.
And he was like, you got to shoot yourself some suppress rifles. And I was like, yeah, okay. Ha, ha, ha. Have a nice day.
He followed her.
He came over and was like, just shoot yourself. I said, no. And he goes, oh, come on. So they got me set up with, what, I shoot three? I shot one suppress, and then I shot.
You shot the Rattler, too, I think.
The Rattler, okay. And I was kind of like, okay, this is really fun.
Yeah.
So we walked around a little bit more. We didn't shoot anymore on that side of the range. But Dad was like, all right, I'm getting kind of tired of this. So we're going to go. I want to shoot the mile.
Yeah, I want to shoot the
mile. I was like, haha, okay, well, I'll walk with you and I'll take pictures. So we got there. And what you shot, what did you shoot? 400, 600,
well,
800?
Yeah,
1,000?
They had
Barrett,
two benches.
They had Barrett rifles
topped with Swarovski optics. So it's gonna be first class,
like,
no matter what.
Sniper.
Oh yeah, complete with silencers on the end and all, or suppressors. I guess
suppressors.
You want to say it. But I sat down at first, and he goes, "Let's shoot 400." And so it was a 6.5 Creedmoor on a Barrett rifle, Swarovski optics. And I'm like, okay, you know, I've practiced a bunch at 300 yards when I would go out west. But I've never shot 400 yards, never attempted it.
Yep.
Sat down, 6.5 Creedmoor, Barrett rifle, on a bipod.
A three-man team, the shooter and one guy working the, kind of working with the wind.
Yeah, I mean, he's giving
you
some windage adjustments
wind,
and
yeah.
that sort of thing. How hold for the, because they're looking at a piece of ribbon on the targets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shot twice at 400 yards, and the guy goes, I don't know where you're shooting at, but you're not hitting the target. I'm like, dude, I am dead on it. Do what y'all say. Well, we kind of find out they had dialed it in for 1,000 yards. So I'm shooting 600 yards further than what it's dialed for. So anyway, dropped it down, ding, 400 yards. He said 600. I'm like, okay, 600. And now, granted, you're shooting off – I mean, you're holding a – the gun's on you.
Yeah.
You got a sandbag pistol grip that
trying
you're
to adjust for height.
That's right. You're adjusting for windage and height with a sandbag. You've got to hold. You got to breathe. But the guns are incredible.
Yeah.
So 400, 600, 800, 1,000.
And then.
Never missed.
And then they were like, all right, you got to shoot the mile now.
Got to shoot the mile.
So I was videoing this and all that. Shot the mile the first time.
3 second flight time on the bullet.
Crazy. Because you're like, did I actually pull the trigger on
that?
Like,
where'd the bullet go?
Yeah, where'd it go? Did I completely miss?
You can't hear it in a mile, but you have lights on the target that
light
up.
They light up. They're big red lights.
Yeah, big red lights to light up. So, did that.
So, you got your coin. They were giving out Barrett coin, mile challenge.
Yeah, 1 mile challenge stuff.
And so then I was like, okay, haha, have a good day, guys. And he goes, now it's your turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
I was like, huh?
Oh, these guys just loved you.
They were just like, you got to, it's your birthday. Everybody kept saying it was my birthday, so like, you got to do it. So whenever I shot, 400, 600, and 1,000.
You missed 1,000 once, but they gave you the wrong windage. Yep.
Hit it again. And then I was like, okay, I'm done. And they were like, no, you got to do the 1 mile now. And I was like, I see what y'all are. Y'all get me to do all these. And then you're like, no, now you're trapped. You got to shoot
the
1 mile.
Got to shoot the mile.
And I was like, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, my first deer I shot was 175 yards. Nothing compared to a mile. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, okay,
you can't see the target at a mile.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this for fun to get them to shut up. But I'm not going to hit it. Well, your girl shot a mile. And it was absolutely crazy. I missed the first time because they told me, they were like, okay, it's going to kick some more than the other ones you've done. So I was like, okay, so I kind of jerked myself because I was waiting for that kick.
Recoil flinch there.
But that second time, I hit it and the red lights went off and I was like, oh wow, I just hit a mile on my 18th birthday.
1,760 yards, 5,280 feet.
It's crazy.
3 second flight on the bullet. What was really cool is I got to watch her 1,000-yard bullet hit the target through binoculars. Mm-hmm. It was so freaky. I mean, I don't know that I saw the bullet, but I could see the heat signature and the air disturbance as the bullet went into the target. And it kind of looped in from the top down right to left. But, yeah, and that's open to y'all. You can do that next year. They're going to have it again. They were thrilled to have it at the Clinton House because so much room.
Yep. It was great, though.
It was pretty cool. We'll get a red crest next week. Y'all, make time to get out there.
Take the back road when you can.
And don't forget the camera. We'll see you back here next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
To hit me from behind, yes, I'm gone to catch